Peace, family. Today's Sunday, December 27th, 2020, and I have the pleasure of speaking with none other than Chito Floriano, who is an entrepreneur, a producer, a creative, an artist out of the Bay Area, Richmond, California, to be exact. Chito, how are you doing today, my brother?
Eric, my brother, what's poppin'? Thank you so much for having me on the podcast today, bro. I'm excited. Thank you, bro.
Of course, my brother. I had to tap in with you on this new season of the Focus Podcast simply because in this season we're highlighting certain individuals who are part of a renaissance that's going on across not only the Bay Area, but what is California and also what can be said around the world. Creatives, people with a platform, people with a voice, artists, entrepreneurs are stepping up to the call to make a change. And when I thought of people, I thought of you, my brother. So salute to you and everything you're doing, you know, and we're going to go into that right now. So, you know, just to, you know, to tap in with you, to start everything off, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, in this world, the climate, you know, with, the COVID situation, you know, everyone has a different belief system. Everyone is getting different information. How are you dealing with everything? What's your current mindset right now, Chito?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to say the least, it's definitely been overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, I'm human, you know, and, you know, humans are driven by emotions and, you know, just feeling a range of emotions and being now what is what. At least 9 months into the pandemic, you know, it's been one hell of a ride, you know. But I mean, despite the overwhelmingness of emotions, I'm spearheading through. You know what I'm saying? I'm staying strong and trying to maintain, you know, as much as I can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I see that you picked up, you know, this new amazing habit of health and wellness. And you know, when I see you share your before and after story, you know, it definitely inspires me. And I know that it's inspiring a lot of other people. So for those who may not be aware, you know, can you speak a little bit about your health and wellness journey and how that started?
Yeah, absolutely. So my health and wellness journey has kind of been on and off.
Okay. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, my fault. Hold on. Give me a sec. All right. Yeah, so my health and wellness journey has been pretty much on and off through high school. My family at one point, you know, was eating organic, nothing but organic produce and organic foods. But what really kick-started me to take it super serious and to the next level was 2 years ago when my father actually got diagnosed with stage 5 kidney failure. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I kind of keep on the low, you know what I mean? And only like those who are super close to me know. But now those who listen to this podcast now know what drives me and keeps me going in terms of maintaining my temple in a full optimal functionality, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So I mean, I started off at the beginning of the pandemic at my heaviest, which was 250 pounds. So my father got diagnosed with stage 5 kidney failure 2 years ago. I kind of like, you know, lost grip of myself and was just working a job that I wasn't, you know, very happy with. So like you could say I was entering kind of like a depressive mode where I was just eating a bunch of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking like, you know, fried chicken and potato wedges and let's say liquor store snacks, you know what I'm saying? That's all I was eating. And I got my heaviest, was 250 pounds and I'm 6'1". So that's definitely reaching the obese state according to the BMI chart, you know what I'm saying? So at the beginning of the pandemic, 250 and I like, you know, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to fall victim to this whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, we're getting hit with the new virus, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know people who are more prone to disease are those who are, you know, consuming, you know, all these shitty products, shitty ingredients, and just living an unhealthy lifestyle. So not only did my dad motivate me, but to be honest, the whole pandemic and this virus motivated me too, because I didn't want to get sick, you know?
Right.
So I was like, I'm gonna boost my immune system up, you know, by taking care of myself, working out, intaking only what's gonna benefit my body. So here we are now today, I'm weighing in at 193. So that was like about, you know, 50 plus pounds, you know.
What? Drop. Congrats, yeah. Bro. That's crazy. Congrats, my brother. That's a lot, man.
It is a lot, bro. So
that's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort, bro. So I'm happy where I'm at right now for sure, bro. I feel great.
Yeah. Of course, you know, and again, seeing the pictures, the before and after, and you just sharing your story and your journey, you know, like I said, it's not only inspiring, brother, but, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, are hitting you and tapping in with you like, yo, how can I do the same? What can I do? And I love the fact that you are showing your regimen, the products that you use. And it seems like you've made it a lifestyle, right? Like your health is really a lifestyle. It's not something you're just doing for the gram. You're actually living this, right?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know how the quote goes, you know, it takes 21 days to make or break a habit, and anything after that is a lifestyle. So this is definitely a lifestyle. I wake up, I live it, I breathe it, I fully consume it. So
yeah, my brother.
That's been my motto, man.
Of course. And, you know, salute to you for doing that. And that's really big. You know, that's a really big change. And it takes a lot of awareness and self-discipline, to be honest with you, in order to, you know, fulfill you know, and keep your temple, like you said, at a great standard. And so let's go into just your family origin and your history, because you mentioned a little bit about your family. Where's your family from? Yes. Your family story, you know, where do they come from? And, absolutely, you know, just your early upbringing with your family.
Yeah, absolutely. So my mother is born and raised here in Richmond, California. So she's actually first-gen Mexican.
Okay.
My grandparents are, my grandfather is from Torreon in Mexico. And my grandmother is from El Paso, Texas. So that's my mom's side of the family. And my dad immigrated here when he was 19 from Michoacan and met my mom when he was 21 in Oakland, California. And I've been in the Bay since then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's wonderful. You know, you definitely have a good mix of culture, you know, like you said, from not only Texas, but Mexico to Oakland and just the entire Bay Area. And then currently, are you currently in Richmond?
Currently in Richmond, yeah.
Okay. I asked simply because you were talking about health and wellness. And as someone, you know, who obviously has lived and always, you know, says Richmond is, you know, their home, like myself. One thing I've noticed is that Richmond is almost like a food desert, where there's not necessarily so much healthy food or options available in the nearbound area, or in the surrounding areas. How do you, right? Or what are you doing to, you know, make sure that you are putting the best foods into your body? You know, what procedures are you taking?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, I do have to outsource my ingredients outside of the city of Richmond, unfortunately. I have to go to cities like, you know, El Cerrito or Albany or even Berkeley sometimes, maybe Pinole, just to get better quality foods, really, which is unfortunate. And it motivates me, you know what I'm saying, to change that, the spectrum, to change the outlook of the city, you know what I'm saying? Because we need these alternatives, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it's not a huge percentage of people who are aware of it, but like my goal is to bring that awareness, you know, and to want to create that. So if I'm not getting my ingredients from outside of the city, I'm definitely getting it from Urban Tilth. You know, I'm now working at Urban Tilth as well, which is a nonprofit organization here in Richmond that is about food justice. You know what I'm saying? So they align with my vision and they align with, you know, my soul and spirit. So I'm glad to be a part of that organization as well, and growing food for the community.
That's very powerful. Let's go into that, because, you know, you're talking about farming and food right now is a huge topic on, you know, discussion table for everyone, because food is essential. Yet we're seeing a lot of restaurants being shut down, either because, you know, they don't have the capacity to, you know, have with new regulations, of course, you know, have inside dining. But then again, there's other businesses who are thriving and they're doing pickup and curbside. So, you know, food is playing an essential role during these critical times. And it seems like you have your hand into that. What made you, you know, want to get involved with just, you know, gardening, or I'm sorry, not, maybe it's not called gardening, it's agriculture, really, and growing food. You know, what got you into that?
Yeah, so, well, the pandemic just completely shifted just my whole outlook on everything. So at the beginning of the pandemic in March, I was working at a biotech company. And, you know, I wasn't really satisfied there. You know, my soul wasn't satisfied as far as just like, just my soul, you know, wasn't satisfied. But the monetary wise, like, of course, like I was making like good amounts of money there. But, you know, money isn't everything, you know. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I had, you know, had fallen into kind of like that depressive state where it was like, yeah, I'm overweight. I'm not happy at my current job. And at that time as well, when the pandemic hit, just like being, you know, swarmed with just information, misinformation about there about to be food shortages and people not having food and all this stuff. I'm just like, man, I want to get more involved. You know, I want to get involved with my community where I, you know, I can, you know, give out food or how can I, you know, be a part of my community and help those who really need it. You know, so I reached out to Urban Tilth and, you know, I had asked for volunteer opportunities to begin with. But because of COVID, like they weren't really accepting any volunteers at the time. But, you know, the universe works in its ways for you. And they had a position available. So during that time that I was taking off from my biotech job, I was like, you know what, I'm going to make this transition into agriculture. Or just this nonprofit that is aligned with, you know, not only agriculture, but food justice and food sovereignty in urban communities where there are food deserts like Richmond. I'm going to get fully integrated and fully involved and be a part of the solution, you know, for this city. And not only for the city, but to be a blueprint for hoods all over, you know, the U.S. and in the world to be able to use us as a blueprint. To be able to farm in urban environments.
Absolutely. What does the future of farming in urban environments look like? Because Pat, you know, you have a firsthand on experience to see what it looks like because you're involved with it every day to day. Now, somebody who, you know, his profession may be something in like, you know, real estate or a different industry, they may not know that you can actually, you know, grow your own food with, you know, very limited resources. Can you speak on that, on the future of urban farming?
Yeah. Could you repeat the question actually? Because my phone just like cut off. My fault. It's like I'm trying to figure out how to keep my phone on from not powering off. But when it powers off, it cuts off our conversation. So could you just repeat that real quick? My fault.
No worries. So what I'm asking in essence is, you know, what is the future of urban farming look like? Because you have a hands-on experience into, you know, growing food. So a lot of people will limit themselves and say, hey, I don't really have, you know, acres of land. When in reality, you probably just need, you know, you probably could speak on this. You only need a little few things to start growing your own food. Right. Yeah. So can you talk about the future of urban farming and what people can be start doing now? Yeah,
absolutely. What folks can start doing now is definitely outsourcing their resources to be able to get seeds. You can definitely come by Urban Tilth and come holla at us. We have seeds for y'all. We got, you know, lettuce seeds and kale seeds and different types of seeds that you can use seasonally in your backyard. So really all you need is a small plot of land. You just need good soil and you need water. That's pretty much it, to be honest. I know there's I'm learning about everything still because this is still pretty new to me, but you know, you want to get, you know, soil tests done and stuff like that because you want to make sure that there isn't any lead in the soil and stuff like that, or anything, you know, any contaminants in the soil. But to be honest, like, all you need is sunlight, water, and good soil, and just give it love, you know, and you'll be able to harvest whatever it is that's in your backyard. You know, if you have a small little plot of land, just you know, go grab some dirt from your local hydroponic store and just switch out the soil. You know, if you can't get any soil tests done, you can go do that, you know. Get some soil and get some compost, do a 1-to-1 ratio, and you're good, you're set. You know, plant that seed, water it, and make sure it gets sunlight. It's really that easy, to be honest.
Yeah. It's a powerful thing to see manifest, you know, just in life that, you know, food, you know, obviously in this day and age, we live in such a fast moving society that sometimes we're so far removed from our food. But, you know, just listening to what you were saying is, again, the simple process of having the right soil, having the right seed, getting the right water, enough sunlight, and just, you know, the right love, you can grow anything. And, you know, it's really good to hear that and just be reminded of that fact, you know, from someone like you, you know, who has, you know, like you said, some experience, and you're still learning and growing, you know, in your own profession as well. But yo, just to touch base on, you know, your early adolescent years, you know, what was your life growing up? What middle school, what high school did you go to? What were your high school years like?
Absolutely. So for middle school, I went to a charter school here in Richmond called Manzanita. I'm not sure if they're still around, but you know, my parents, especially my mom, was you know, growing up in Richmond, she knew what it was like in Richmond in the earlier days. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really have to discuss what be popping off in the Rich, but you know, she grew up here, so she knew what was out there in the world. You know what I'm saying? And she, you know, made the sacrifices along with my father to make sure that, you know, I wasn't gonna get involved with the wrong crowd and try to give me the best upbringing that I could get. So, you know, they sent me to Manzanita, which was a charter school, and my graduating class had, like, you know, 70 people, you know, like my like or even less than that, I think. Like, to be honest, I think the school at most had 70 people. Or my graduating class probably had like 25 people or something crazy. So it was like a soup, very small, just like, you know, a charter school, you know what I'm saying? They had to put in volunteer hours, you know, a certain amount monthly for me to even attend the school. So it's a lot of sacrifice on there. And so from there, then I got thrown into a big pool, 3,000 students at Berkeley High. You know, they still kept me out the area, or kept me out of the circle of in Richmond. You know, I didn't go to like Kennedy High, or I didn't go to like Richmond High, or you know, or De Anza, right? Or these high schools that were in Richmond. So they sent me to Berkeley High. So here I am, you know, taking BART every single morning to go to Berkeley High. And yeah, we you know, we have some connects, you know, to be able to do that, you know, because, you know, you're not supposed to go to school outside of your jurisdiction, but you know, luckily we're blessed enough to be able to have someone, you know, look out for me and to be able to go there. So I went to Berkeley High, graduated in 2011, and yeah, played soccer, and you know, just grinded it out in high school.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really good to just point out the difference, right, for those who may not be aware, who are not necessarily fully aware of the dynamics in the Bay Area, right? Because in that time frame that you were speaking of, which is being in school in the early 2000s in the Richmond area, right, for those who may not be aware, the crime rate was, you know, outdone, like out of the roof, right? Like it was extraordinary. And it's nothing to glorify simply because so many of us who were, you know, residents or lived or had our, you know, beginnings in Richmond, we were, you know, unfortunately
The
you know, the victim. Yeah,
byproduct,
you could
right? Or by,
say, you know, like I don't like to use that word victim, but unfortunately the byproduct, like you said, you know, of the violence and what was seen, and we all have experienced, you know, some type of pain or, you know, trauma from that. And like you said, it's so good to hear that your, you know, your parents and your family was able to, you know, steer you in the right direction. But nevertheless, you were in Berkeley, which is a high school. You were in Berkeley, but also the Berkeley High School, which I'm sure it just gave you a whole different lens as to what life is, because every city, you know, especially in the Bay Area, has their own vibration. You know when someone's from Oakland. You know when somebody's from San Francisco. You know when somebody is from Richmond. You know when somebody's from Vallejo. You know it because of the vibe, the word, the lingo, everything. So that being said, what was your lens like, or your perspective like, you know, during your late high school years, your junior, senior year at Berkeley High? You know, because you're getting introduced to a whole different dynamic. And then obviously the viewpoint in Berkeley is so different from the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Just attending Berkeley High on its own was almost like a mini college experience. Like, I never went to college. I went one semester and dropped out. But it was really just, it was dope. Because, like, I would see, like, a new face every single day, you know, like, from different backgrounds, different neighborhoods, different cities, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got folks from Berkeley, you got folks from Richmond, you got folks from North Oakland, you got folks from, some folks even from San Francisco, you know, attending this school. And it was just like, man, like, it was just amazing, you know, just to be around that many people and just to see a new face literally every single day. Like, it just definitely opened my eyes to just like, man, there's a bigger world out there, you know what I'm saying? Just from going from a small charter school to then being dropped in the ocean of, you know, 3,000 students from all different backgrounds. It was just like, it was amazing, bro, to be honest. Like, I'm super thankful for that. And then during that time too, bro, like, I was going to the Rye Center, bro, like, from there. So, like, straight from Berkeley High, like, I would go to the Rye Center, and then that's where, like, we linked up, you know what I'm saying? For those who don't know, you know, the Rye Center is a youth center in Richmond, you know, where young people could go after school and, you know, learn different arts, or they could, you know, learn how to operate a camera, or they could go into writing class, or they can go into cooking class. It was basically just a safe space for young people to come together after school and just pretty much hang out and create friends and create a network.
Yes, and that network, I mean, it's so long and rich, right? When you mentioning just the Rise Center, because I know just you have your own network of people you met, right, through your experience there. I have my own network of, you know, people I met through there. And as you mentioned, we were able to meet, you know, at Rise Center. And I'm really thankful for that connection because, you know, obviously it was a platform, it was space, like you said, where creatives, where artists can just go and learn a craft, master the craft, or just, you know, be a student. And that's what I loved about that environment. Yeah. But then also, as you mentioned, just connecting with people like you who, you know, are obviously now, you know, manifesting, you know, their early year ambitions. Because when I met you, you had a camera in your hand and you were shooting videos and, you know, like, that's what you were involved with. Can you speak on, you know, you getting introduced into, you know, film and recording and the projects that you did? What was that like? You know, when did you get introduced to that? And what inspires you to do it?
Absolutely. So me picking up my first camera was definitely at the Rice Center. Well, actually, even before that, like, I've always felt like I had, like, an eye, you know, when it came to camera work, because, like, my cousins and I would just, like, take pictures, you know, of each other, you know, like, of our outfits and shit, or just, like, together. Like, I just remember just, like, linking up with my cousins, like,
but that's dope.
During, like, Thanksgiving, and we would just, like, take pictures of each other, you know what I'm saying, just for, like, just for, like, random purposes, like, really with no intent, just
before,
like,
the gram.
Before the gram, this was, like, MySpace days, probably. You know, sure. MySpace is a whole different beast, because we were damn near coding on MySpace, now that I think about it, bro. Like, we were fake coding on there.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Engineering degree and everything.
Yeah, for real. So I picked up, like, my first official camera, and I took my first official class was at the Rice Center. And this was probably, like, 2000 and I want to say, like 9, bro. Like, 2009 when I took my first camera photography class. And from photography, like, I learned it, you know, within, like, 6 months. I learned how to operate a camera and, you know, what it took with lighting, exposure, and composition. And I was like, man, like, I feel like I can do film, you know, because all film is, you know, a moving photo. You know, it all everything applies from photography. The foundation, you know, applies to film. So from there, like, I just started filming music videos, you know, and during that time, even at Rise, I met, you know, one of the members of what is now a huge iconic music group called HBK Gang. I had met a member of the HBK Gang before it became this huge iconic just Bay Area group, and he was just like, yo, like, I got my bro, like, he's rapping, you're dope with the camera, like, come through, like, we, you know, we're adding folks to our camp type of thing, like, we need people in-house who are going to work with us. And from there, like, it just went up from there, bro. Like, it was crazy. Like, everything was just aligned and just like destined just from this hub, this space, this like sacred space, bro, in the Rich, bro, just the Rise Center, bro. So it was just super exciting, bro, and super dope. So like, I was able to film, you know, music videos for I Am Sue and travel the world with him and go on tour with him and help him out with his photography and his content, you know what I'm saying? So it was amazing opportunities, bro.
Wow, that's a wonderful story to hear, you know, just to hear, you know, your introduction into, you know, like you said, picking up a camera to the huge stage where you're actually living out your dream. You know, like you made it seem like, you know, like such a simple and easy process, but you know, I'm sure, you know, there's photographers or creatives out there listening, like, yo, you know, I'm just now getting my camera, or I'm just now saving up and I'm finally getting the camera I wanted, and now I get to go out there and create. What advice do you have for photographers, creatives, filmmakers, storytellers who are just picking up the camera and they have that vision, that hunger that you did once and that you probably still do, right? And, you know, to see it to fruition. What advice do you have to them?
Yeah, absolutely. The advice that I would give to them is just to compete with themselves, you know what I'm saying? Don't look at anybody else who, you know, of course, like, you could have your inspirations and those people that you may look up to, but never compare yourself to others, you know, and stay focused on yourself and follow the beat to your own drum, pretty much, you know. And it's just like, you know, everything will fall accordingly, you know, if it's destined for you. You know, I really believe in destiny, and I really believe in how, you know, the story is already written for you. But it really just takes consistency and just consistency, discipline, and dedication. That's all I could give y'all.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, you said that you started working with artists, such as, you know, HBK, I mean, the group HBK, which now is, you know, they just grown so much and involved into so much more, right, than just a group. Everyone now has their own personal platform. Speak about that, because, you know, that obviously you have, you're like a library almost in the sense of that historic moment, because you know not everyone got to see the behind the scenes and not everyone got to experience it. So you being a storyteller and a photographer and a, you know, a creative with the camera, you know, what was that like, you know, capturing that, and you know, what was that like just at your age, you know, seeing that and living that out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like, in retrospect, now that I look back, it's like, wow, I have like archives, like literally hard drives and archives of history. You know, that's how I look at it. So here's another piece of advice for folks: it's just document. You know, like, even if you don't create anything from it, even if, you know, it never gets out into the public eyes, it's like, create. You know, just keep that camera rolling. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know what you're gonna document and how much it's gonna be worth in the future. So just like, I look back and I'm like, man, I have like, you know, disposable camera printouts from like 2009 and 2010 that, you know, tell the story of what those early stages were like, you know. And it's just like, it blows my mind. And it's just like, it's amazing. So it's just amazing to just be a, have been a part of that and to have documentation of that. And I think that's super powerful.
Absolutely. What was one of the craziest experience, or one of the most, you know, because you had so many different experiences on the road, but what was like experience that, you know, really stayed with you while you were on the road as a camera? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the most wildest part of it was going to Australia. I think like
You
was
went to
like,
Australia?
yeah. So
Damn, word.
yeah, that was crazy.
How long was the flight?
Yeah, that's exactly why I will never forget this moment, because it was a 16-hour flight, bro.
Nonstop?
Nonstop, bro.
What?
Yes.
What do
So
you do?
exactly, what do? You just sit there and suffer, bro. Nah, but for real, it's like that was one of the dopest experiences. And I'm super humbled and super blessed. And you know, IMSU is forever my brother, because like we always tell each other, you know, we're brothers on and off the court. You know, like when we're on the court, we're playing, we're creating. And when we're off the court, you know, I'm tapping in, you know, with his mom, and like, you know, just, you know, asking about his uncle, asking about his family. Like, you know, we have that personal relationship. And you know, like you said, we're brothers on and off the court. But yeah, Australia, I think, was one of the most memorable experiences, not only because it was the longest flight, but I mean, that's like down under, you know what I'm saying? Like, you look at the globe and it's like, you know, I live here, but like I visited here, you know, like it blows my mind. And to have created content out there, is also pretty memorable as well.
Now, that's great to hear, you know, very inspiring for anyone that's listening, you know, that you may be listening in, you know, your dorm room, you may be listening, whatever circumstance you may be listening in right now, as a creative, as a photographer, as an entrepreneur, you know, this story just goes to show you, you know, that you can start anywhere. And again, there is no limit to what you can achieve, right? Just have the right vision and the right attitude. And as Cheeto said, the dedication, the
Yeah,
self-discipline,
absolutely.
right? To make it happen. And you mentioned something that's like, yo, I should have, you know, like always keep the camera rolling. And that's something I probably wish I would have done more of, you know, early during the rise years, right? When
Man.
we were speaking of, because everyone would walk in through those
Yeah.
doors. And, you know, like everyone that would walk in through those doors had something they were carrying with them that was powerful, you know, their own powerful
Man.
movement. And what was so cool about that time and space that there was really no ego. Like, you know, the way I met you was like, yo, it was love, bro, let's build, you know? And I will always remember, you know, I was doing something for my brand, Achieve Life, and it was raining. You threw a shirt on. I have it on video,
I
right?
will
Like it's
never
on
forget
video. We're
that
gonna
moment,
share
bro.
it. Cheeto walked out looking like $1 million. He's like, bro, I got this. I'm a model for you. He threw the shirt on in the rain, brand new sneakers. He's stepping in puddles. He's like, Achieve Life.
Yeah.
Yo, like, I
I
was
remember
like,
I
yo, we're
made the
about to
beat for
sell
that
out.
video too, you remember?
Exactly. And that's what I'm gonna get to,
Yeah.
my brother, because one thing I wish I would have recorded was you taking one of your first beat courses, right? Because I took one of the courses, right? But I later figured out that, you know, that wasn't my stronghold or something that I really wanted to focus
Yeah.
my time on, but you stuck with it, right? And I remember, I'm like, yo, this guy is a great videographer. He's a master with the video camera, but he's not so ego driven where he doesn't mind starting at the bottom or at the beginning stage to learn how to do
Yeah.
something new. And that's when you were learning how to
Yeah.
produce. So, you know, congrats, my brother. For those who don't know, and we're about to get into all your detailed work, Cheeto is a celebrated producer in the music industry, but more importantly, not necessarily just in the music industry, but just as an artist. You know, he's a producer that produces music. And, you know, again, I wish I would have captured you in your first course or your first class, you know, doing the beats. And now, you know, that's developed to something so much greater. So, my brother, talk a little bit about your
Yeah.
beat and producing journey. How'd you start? And, you know, where did that lead
Absolutely.
you to?
So the whole music journey really started with filmmaking, to be honest. So, you know, I had attended a like 2-week intensive filmmaking course after, you know, graduating school, and also I'm graduating high school, and then as well as taking the classes at Rise. But what really stuck with me was in this class after high school, they had asked me, what comes first in a film? what comes first in film? It was like sound or picture, right? And I'm like, huh, I don't know. That's everyone's saying picture, and then the instructor's like, no, sound. And I'm like, huh. And that made me really think, like, okay, we look at a horror film like, we're watching a horror film, and what scares us isn't the image on screen. What scares us is the sounds. So then that made me really just think, like, wow. So like, if I can master sound, I can master film, right? So I started dabbling with beats. So just being around that ambience and that ambiance and that creative energy of music, with HBK, like I would always just watch, the gang just cook up, making beats, and like being around the folks at Rise as well. Like there was a lot of creative energy there in terms of making music as well. But I ultimately started to make music was to score my films, to put like, to just like shoot like some experimental shit and then just put like a beat over it. I wanted it to be an original track from myself where I didn't have to, license the audio or, rip something off of YouTube. It could just be all original from myself. So after that, studying not only the gang, but studying just the whole game of the music industry and production, after about 10 years of just studying and practicing, like I finally, began to publish my work out into the world. So I just published my first record in 2020 of April 2020, and I made some placements onto I Am Sue's album Boss Up 5. Yeah,
Congratulations, my
thank you,
brother.
bro.
A lot of hard work, man. That's very
Yeah,
dope.
and yeah, so Boss Up 5 in 2009 was my actual first placement on an album, but yeah, April 2020 was under my name, under my distribution and publishing. So, that's just super important. Anybody who's out there, who's wanting to be, a musician and an artist is just, I heard that it's 70% business, 30% skill. So, you know what I'm saying? You don't really, have to, be quote unquote raw, right? Like, of course you have to have an ear for music, but study the business, like learn about publishing, learn about distribution, learn about, residuals and royalties and streams and, breakdowns on streams, everything, everything is just, it's crazy, bro. The music industry is crazy, especially now. This, I feel like we're in the future because, I was on Clubhouse as well. Are you familiar with Clubhouse?
Absolutely. Everyone's talking about Clubhouse. And for those who don't know, please give a description of what
Yeah,
Clubhouse is.
Clubhouse is a app, a social media app. I'm actually fairly new to it too. This is like my second day on it, but it's an application where it's not photo driven or text driven like Twitter or Instagram yet. It's you can go into different rooms with different people and there's just conversation happening. So you could imagine like me and Eric are like hosting a room and then people would come in. And then we can bring people to the stage. People will be in the audience, and we're actually like having conversations. We're not here like, expressing ourselves through photo or through text. It's actual conversations happening, and it's actually an invite only right now because it's in the beta version, from what I'm understanding. So you can only use the app if you have an iPhone and have an invite from somebody who's already using Clubhouse, which is crazy. But yeah,
Exclusivity,
yeah, for sure.
exclusivity. Everyone who's listening, remember that word and, learn to treasure exclusivity. Not everything is for everybody at the right time, but, everyone's saying that eventually the app is going to be available to, the masses, but a lot of people are saying that when that becomes true, that's when it will lose its appeal, right? Because again, it's all about, who's invited and who's not. But then of course, it's also about the conversations, because what I know for a fact is that you can have an intellectual conversation where you can get some really,
Some
you
gems,
can build a
yes.
business.
Some real gems.
Or you can be in a room where people are moaning, So it's like you have to choose, right? Like not everything is for everybody, But then again, whatever you're into, there's someone who's into that as well.
But to draw the conversation back to the whole music industry thing is I was in a clubhouse where the game was actually talking, you know, and the artist was talking, and he was in this room with just like whatever, one of his boys was just talking about how easy, you know, musicians and artists have it right now with just everything is at our fingertips, you know, and how easy it is and how you could just record something in your room. You don't have to pay what they had to pay, which was like $5,000 to get it printed onto, I don't even know what they were saying, bro. They were saying printing it onto whatever vinyl or whatever cassette or whatever they used back in the days, it cost $5,000, bro. And then you would have to go out into mm-hmm. the street and promote your stuff, you know, like hand it out and hope that people would play your music. And it's like now you can record something off of your iPhone damn near, and you could put it out into the world, you know, and it's just that easy. It goes to show you where we're headed, and the future that we're actually living in, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This technology, you know, you can use it for a lot of good, a lot of great. And like Cheeto just reminded us, right? It's at our fingertips. And the same way that Cheeto and I had, you know, joined together at this moment in time to create this conversation, which is going to create a ripple effect in the future, right? Because somebody's going to be inspired. Somebody's going to be empowered. Somebody's going to reach out to Cheeto. Somebody's going to reach out to me and be like, yo, I heard this conversation and this is the action I want to take, right? And that's the power of intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And Cheeto is reminding us of that right now, right? You, yourself, who is listening to this, who's a creative, who's a creator, right? You have the ability to create something that this world needs and is waiting for, but only you can do that. And the moment you get over whatever that is that you have to get over, right, it's not going to be brought to fruition because, again, everyone has a purpose. And again, Cheeto is just reminding us of that, right? It's at our fingertips. So creators, it's time to create Absolutely. And do.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. So Cheeto, continuing with, you know, your music mm-hmm. conversation, you know, I was listening to a beat and, you know, it actually got made into a song and I really like the beat. And, you know, obviously the song goes into a whole different conversation, but nevertheless, I want to congratulate you. And that was the Yada Mean song.
Right on. Hell yeah.
That placement and just you creating that, that's a very Bay Area type, you know, like sound. But again, when I heard it, I'm like, yo, this is so classic that I just kept playing it and kept playing it. So right congrats on. To you. And, you know, where can people listen to your work?
You can go on all digital streaming platforms. So, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, and you can just search up Cheeto Floriano. That'll show you what I published. But other things that I've published for that record in particular, Yada Mean is by Raven Justice. So you can search it up, Yada Mean by Raven Justice. Another record that I produce is Payola by I Am Sue.
You did Payola? I was just in. Okay, so this is interesting. We have to get into it. Payola, because where was I? Just I'd be traveling, right? So I'll be on these trips, on these missions.
You be moving and grooving. I see you.
Absolutely, and like you said, moving. But then the second part is grooving. In order to groove, you know, you need the right playlist. And I was in, where was I recently? It's going to come to me, but I'd be traveling so much. I was somewhere in nature, obviously, but it was a few miles away from the Bay Area. And, you know, I was just living literally like my best element. Like, yo, I have natural spring water. I'm eating organic blueberries. Like, I'm surrounded by love and trees. Like, you know, like I'm living the best life I can live. And then I'm like, yo, what song described this moment? And I put on Payola, you know,
for real. That's crazy.
You know, because, and I didn't know you produced it, but yo, shout out to I Am Sue, right? And obviously you who produced the song, but the song just itself is like, you know, like what he's going into. And, you know, in this podcast, I'm going to see how I can obviously, you know, insert the song in some way. Just to give it the theme for the song for this podcast, but yeah, talk a little bit about that song and what it means to you.
That song, man, we made that record at Sue's house, and you know, this was just like my first time like really producing like in front of Sue, you know what I'm saying? So like this is a huge like pivotal moment for me because I'm Sue's not only my brother, but he's also, you know, very inspirational, not only to me, but to the culture and just to the city of Richmond. You know, he is a legend, you know what I'm saying? So to be in a room and just producing in front of him, you know, was definitely a breaking point for me because it's like, you know, he's a huge artist, you know, and it's just like, man, all right, I'm here. Like, let me see what I got, you know, and I just start playing, you know, the keys, you know, pulling up sounds and pressing keys. And he's like, oh, yeah, do that, do that. And it just happened from there, you know. We recorded that entire song in like less than an hour, you know.
In less than 1 hour,
yeah. Like I made the beat maybe in like 15 minutes, and then Sue like wrote his verse or like freestyled his verse damn near in 30, and then Skip came through and he finished his verse on the second verse, and it was like done deal. So it was just the energy in the room was just crazy. So that record's dope. It holds a special place in my heart. And they shot that video in New York, which was a dope video too. Y'all should check it out. Payolo by Aaron Sue music video on YouTube. But yeah, it's dope. It's just history, you know, and it's history for the public eye, and it's always gonna exist as long as the internet's around. So that's my footprint on the world.
Absolutely, man. And I was just going to the video right now. It currently has 92,000 views, but I really believe it has 92 million views because I've watched it about 92,000 times because that's how I've been streaming it and listening to it. So get you playing, you know, run the numbers up. Yeah, no, but man, congratulations to you, my brother, on that. That's definitely, you know, something to be proud of as far as just creating and, you know, like you said, coming in harmony with someone else to create this piece of art that is, you know, monumental. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I like music plays such a big role in everyone's life, and, you know, it plays for memories. So the memory I just created for me and, you know, who I was with and, you know, when I was in nature, It had me play the song, and right now that I looked at it, it says produced by none other than at Chito.Floriano. Yeah. So, you know, that's Chito.Floriano. Yes, you know, and they can follow you on Instagram. And how else can people get in contact?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm not too active on Twitter, but you can follow me on Twitter at HBKChito. And I'm also on Clubhouse, if you're on Clubhouse, at Chito.Floriano.
Okay. And let me ask you this, since you're on Clubhouse, right? What would be something that you would have a room? Because you could create your own room.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Correct? If you were hosting your own room right now on Clubhouse, what would you be having the conversation on? What would be the topic?
Man. I mean, I'm not an expert on it. I'm just now beginning. So, like, going back to, like, me just, like, not having ego and just, like, wanting to just put my head in the dirt again, you know, it's, like, I don't know what it is about me. It's just, like, I just want to learn. I'm always learning, you know. I always want to learn everything, you know. I kind of consider myself, like, a modern-day Renaissance man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to learn everything, literally. And so, like, I want to have a room, like, of just of brown people, of course, brown and black people, talking about what's yet to come or what's happening now, but what's going to be implemented nationwide, maybe even globally, is cryptocurrency room, and just breaking down, you know, like the ins and outs for beginners, you know, because I'm a beginner too. I mean, I have some money invested, but I'm still learning, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still learning about blockchains and smart contracts and all these things. I would hope to want to, you know, create a room like that where not only I could be a moderator, but just bring people who are experienced in that field to then, you know, give the game to folks.
Right. And let's just go into that very quickly. Like Chito said, he's not an expert and I'm no expert as well into crypto. Right. And I'll probably be having a conversation with Ricky Cucalon, who, you know, I post on our Chibi Digital page. You know, he's obviously someone who I connected with as well in my network a few years ago, and we're still connected here and there now through social media. But he obviously, when we first met, he invested into crypto and Bitcoin early on, and you know, and he's obviously now reaped the benefits, right? And now he's created a whole lifestyle and brand out of it. But you know, shout out to him. And, you know, obviously we'll be following up with him.
I'll be looking forward for that. I just now seen that, too. Yeah. I was like, right before I joined this, I was like, man, like, he's Raza, you know what I'm saying? He's Mexican like me, like, just killing it in the crypto game. So, like, definitely that's inspiring. And I feel like people definitely got to hear his story. So I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, no, of course, my brother. And, you know, like you said, smart contracts. And for those who don't know what smart contracts are, you know, maybe we can give them just a little brief explanation. From my kind of understanding, just to keep it kind of simple, think of it like you going to a vending machine and you make a transaction and there's no one there to oversee the transaction, right? But you put in your payment and you choose what you want, and in return, you get the product, right? That's what kind of what a smart contract is, right? Like, you're guaranteed pretty much that you're going to get your product in return for your payment. Is that kind of what a smart contract
is? I was just researching it today because I just found that term today. So like everybody in here who's listening, like, you know, I'm not an expert and I'm learning. I'm always willing to learn. And I think that's important for everyone to know too. Like, no matter where you're at, just always learn. You know, there's always room and growth in the learning aspect. But yes, that's what I got from it too. It was just like, it's kind of a system that's already in place that nothing can be changed. And it's going to give you what you put in. You know, it's like pretty much like an agreement, you know, but it's an agreement that's, you know, AI based or technology based.
Absolutely. And for those listening, obviously, you know, one of the businesses that I founded with, you know, one of my brothers is called Chivi Digital. And what we help do with businesses, entrepreneurs and startups, founders, creatives, is we help you optimize and monetize your online presence, meaning, you know, having a digital footprint. A lot of the businesses that, you know, we are now helping and working with are businesses who, you know, are just now setting up their website, but they've been in business since 1980, you know, and imagine how much money, how much currency, how much they're leaving just on the table by not being optimized online. And you're here talking about a whole new currency. And it seems like, right, the future is looking like digital currency.
Absolutely. I mean, just with this whole, you know, we won't get into, you know, any conspiracy theories or anything, but, you know, the pandemic, everything happening, you know, them saying, you know, don't use cash or try to use cash as less as possible. There's a statistic out there as well that, you know, 70% of transactions are actually digital already. And that's speaking on the U.S. dollar. So there's only 30% of money out there in circulation in actual cash. So that says something there as well.
Right, right. And when you look at into like companies like Amazon, who, you know, before even everything got shut down or closed down back in March, you know, they were already testing a store in San Francisco, Seattle, and a few other locations where you would just walk in. Right. Kind of like a Whole Foods, but a fast one, a smaller one. You would grab whatever you wanted and just walk out. And the way the payment would occur is through facial recognition. So you would upload your picture or your profile of your face. And as soon as you walk into the location, it automatically recognizes your face and it would charge you via your face. So you don't have to go through no cashier. Right. And this is before, this is 2019,
I remember 2018. That too. I do remember that. Yeah.
Right. So again, it's like, it's nothing, you know, to be, you know, concerned about, but it's something to be aware about. And again, it's like change is happening very quickly and very fast. And those who are there to trailblaze and those who are willing to risk and those who are willing to, you know, hear the calling, right, and stand up and be brave, are the ones who will reap the benefits and the rewards. Because again, we are early into new technology, new business, new currency, new economies, right? I was speaking to someone earlier on a previous podcast, which you can check out, and her name is Edith, and she went to Berkeley High as well. And we were talking about bartering, right? And what that looks like, right? You have something of value, and then I can exchange that for something of value as well. And we just make an equal exchange, right? And we don't necessarily, because, you know, what are we really trading is debt notes. And at the end of the day, you know, it's like, how can we get back into something of value?
Exactly. For those who aren't aware, we're trading a fiat currency. Fiat currency is not backed by anything, not backed by nothing of intrinsic value. It is backed by the blood, sweat, and tears of those who work for it. So just to let y'all know.
Of course. No, thank you for that, you know, clarification. And I just want to throw this interesting fact out there, right, for those who are listening and are interested into technology. We will be having further discussions into technology as well and how you can use that to your benefit. And we will bring Cheeto on probably, you know, we'll speak afterwards, my brother, to see, you know, what we can talk about, you know, as far as, you know, adapting to this digital change. But here goes a really quick note for everyone listening. Personal data is the oil of the 21st century, a resource worth billions to those who can most effectively extract and refine it. American companies alone are expected to spend close to $20 billion by the end of 2020 to acquire and process consumer data, according to the Interactive Advertising Bureau. Personal data is worth more in the 21st century than oil, right? And when we break down what personal data is, we're talking about everything about you, family. Right? Like, even your DNA. So for those who, you know, are, you know, out here and, you know, are listening to the rhetoric or the information that mass media is telling you, and you're not filtering it, and you're not asking if this is true, or if you're not doing your due diligence and your own personal research on how to boost your own immune system, right? You could easily fall for, you know, the bait. And all I will say is, you know, don't give your personal data, as in your, you know, your who you are and your DNA, or, you know, any of that. Don't let anyone do anything with your body, right, that, you know, eventually can be used against you or harm you. Again, you know, our conversation right now that we're having with Cheeto is a high level conversation talking about, you know, how we can use, you know, different ways of thinking and new ways of thinking, creative ways of thinking, you know, whether it's through food, through business, however, to enhance your life. So again, you know, that's just a reminder to everyone who's listening, you know, filter your information, make sure that, you know, you're listening to, you know, a voice of reason, and that you're doing your own due diligence, because, you know, all it takes is a little bit of research and you'll find what you're looking for. Yeah. So my brother, just to wrap up, you know, our conversation and, you know, just bring everything back home, I definitely want to give you the platform to quickly just say something, obviously, that will empower and, you know, inspire those who are listening, you know, and just in your own words, you know, so whatever message you want to leave the audience with, you know, the stage is yours.
The closing statement that I want to say is, man, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, it's really, you know, never give up, you know. And I can't help but say these words because they're just speaking to me. It's like I've been living by these words for a while. And rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. Is, you know, life, this game, everything that we're doing is, it's a marathon. You know, it's not a sprint. You know, so don't try to move too fast. You know, just take it at your own pace and move along and treat it as a marathon, because that's really what it is. It's longevity. You know, we're living in an age where, you know, people are just quick to want to, you know, get that, what is that, clout, you know what I'm saying, quote unquote clout, and, you know, following these trends and stuff like that. But, you know, what's really gonna live and what's really gonna outpower that is longevity and genuineness and resourceful information. So with that being said, just, you know, just stick to your guns and it's a marathon, so be prepared.
My brother, what are you working on right now? What projects can people look forward to that you're going to be
Absolutely.
delivering?
So right now, I'm going through a rebranding for my company called Raza de Oro. Raza de Oro is pretty much a lifestyle brand that's representing the Mexicans that live in America, just as a reminder for something that they can wear on their body, clothing, as a reminder to seize every single opportunity that we have present here in this country. But to not forget about where you come from and where your people come from. So that's going to be soon to come on 2021. I'm working on everything, refining everything with my cousin. We're going through a whole rebranding phase, so I'm working on that. I got a project coming out with a Spanish artist out of Oakland named Delacio on New Year's Day. So this is going to be my first project that's going to be fully in Spanish. It's a 6-track project, all produced by me. So that's going to be coming out January 1st. And yeah, just be on the lookout. I got another record about to drop too, called Stacks Up. I'm working on mixing and mastering it right now. And that's featuring my brother I Am Sue. So we're just going to keep, providing the vibes to the world, to get through what it is we got to get through, to get to that end result.
Listen, if you're not inspired, this man is out here working, creating opportunities, connecting the dots and just creating, like that's what's wonderful about it. You're not wasting any time, my brother. And you said seize the day. I want to sign off with this family. An empire isn't built in a day, it's built every day.
Yes.
So consistency, right? And again, everything you see, right, isn't everything that it appears to be. So obviously make sure that you are consistent with your daily practices, your daily habits, right? Just try to be better than you were yesterday, but more importantly, push yourself, because a lot of people are falling back and they're saying, yo, it's time to chill. No, it's time to build, it's time to build, it's time to build, it's time to build. It's okay to rest, but don't rest for too long,
Absolutely.
So an empire isn't built in a day, it's built every day. And if you want to support in any capacity our podcast or what we're doing, you can do so by patronizing and purchasing one of our products. One of our products is the Best Self Journal, which you can find on our website on chividigital.com. And the journal simply is a daily planner that you can use every day for 3 months as your map to achieve your goals, whatever they may be. And it's wonderfully set up. It's on the website. There will be a link in this podcast so you can purchase it and you will actually get 20% off. And we'll give you a coupon code as well. If you want to patronize, we appreciate your business and thank you for supporting us. Again, my brother Cheeto, thank you so much for allowing us to, come into, just your daily life and your mindset today and sharing with us, where you are and what you're doing. Thank you so much, my brother, for your time, your energy, and everything else that you're doing. So, my brother, anything
Man,
else you want to say before
man,
we log
man, I
off?
appreciate you. I appreciate you, man. Just everything you're doing, bro. It's inspirational. I'm always keeping up with everything you're doing, bro. And since I met you, bro, you've been an inspiration, bro. So let's continue to build, like you said, every day, and could just continue to inspire each other, because it's gonna be the 10 to 15 year road where it's gonna be like, we're all still here together. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's important, is community and unity.
Absolutely. This is
Hey.
Cheeto Floriano and Eric Chibi. Thank you so much for tuning in. Health and wellness to
Peace,
everybody.
family. Thank you.
Peace.